After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
USCHO.com.
Welcome to USCHO Spotlight for Thursday, October 27th, 2022, where each week we talk to a coach, player, administrator, or journalist about college hockey. This podcast is sponsored by DCU Digital Federal Credit Union. What will DCU mean to you? Find out today by visiting dcu.org. Membership required. I'm Ed Trefsker alongside Jim Connolly.
Well, last weekend was probably one of the most exciting hockey series that we will see all season. Of course, it came in October, but an unreal two-game set between North Dakota and Minnesota, two great rivals in college hockey. And here to talk about that series and a few other topics in college hockey, two of my favorite guys from the upper Midwest, Jess Myers and Brad Schlossman, both right for the Rink Live. You can also see Brad's stuff in the Grand Forks Herald. Gentlemen, I know you've both been around, you know, for probably a combined about 50 years in this sport. Was that one of the best weekends of hockey that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I think one of the reasons why those two teams are such good rivals is because they always deliver when they play. I just think of how many games you've went to that have been duds. There are a couple on the list, but not many. The amount of times that they play games like that is incredible. And they did it again last weekend. So it's they were two great hockey games. And in a weird way, it's you almost expect that when they play because they've just done it so often. And I think that's why the big reason why this rivalry is so great, because every time they play, it's so competitive and intense and the high quality of skill on the ice.
Jess, I know that in the past we've seen some joking photos of 3M Arena, especially before a quarterfinal game in the Big Ten playoffs, you know, empty. There wasn't a seat to be found. That was a great atmosphere in Minnesota.
Absolutely. And, you know, a credit to North Dakota fans. They travel well, as always. There's a ton of North Dakota alumni in the Twin Cities that snapped up available tickets. But a good Gopher crowd. The students have kind of come back in large numbers in the last, I would say, year or so, which is really encouraging to see, especially having gone through the pandemic when we had 150 people in the building and, you know, all of that weirdness. But I'll say this, Jim and Ed, and, you know, a fun conversation to have. This rivalry, which goes back to the 1940s, has taken on the point where, you know, we saw it again Saturday. You can just say the jersey pop game or the stick toss game or the timeout game. I mean, you talk about just some legendary games. And for all of the Gopher fans that I hear from constantly and 10 years into the Big Ten era, we're still hearing, when's the old WCHA coming back? Oh, I missed the, yeah, get over it. It's gone. It's done. It's over. It's like the Sopranos, find a new show. But, you know, when you look at last weekend's series, man, what are you looking for as far as college hockey? And what do you miss about the old WCHA? Because for my money, those two games were absolutely as good as it gets in college hockey.
Well, let's start with Friday night. It looked for a long time that North Dakota might have had this game in hand, a late goal in regulation tied up, and then a great goal in overtime. Jess, the emotions that were probably moving back and forth, and I'm sure for the Gophers, you're at home realizing that, boy, we're going to drop one at home. We didn't play our best. And then to come out with the win, that had to have some good emotion for the locker room.
Yeah. And it was one of those deals where you look at what you think going in, you know, it's fun to look back at your clips from last week and kind of think what you anticipated from this series. North Dakota was coming off a series where they gave up 11 goals on a weekend at home. Minnesota's got a ton of offense. You're thinking, oh boy, you know, if Minnesota takes an early lead, this one could get out of hand in a hurry. And it just doesn't happen. North Dakota played a great defensive game. Drew DeRitter, who the Gophers have seen plenty of before during his time at Michigan State, played very well. He loves freezing the puck. He loves faceoffs. He loves, you know, kind of disrupting the other team's flow. And he did a great job of that. And even, you know, with 3 minutes left and it's a 2-1 game, I'm thinking this has been a fantastic hockey game. North Dakota's done everything they've needed to do defensively. Minnesota's had a ton of chances. The crowd's been into it. And then in the last, you know, 90 seconds, it all goes crazy with Mason Nevers coming off the bench with an extra attacker, getting a goal to tie it up. And in the overtime, the fun comment that Bob Motzko has is, you know, he's been honest about Matthew Knies and said, you know, incredible talent, but he tries to do too much with the puck. And 5-on-5, you know, he can't try and do as much as he can. He's not as effective trying to carry the puck through five other guys on the other team. He said, 3-on-3 in overtime, all bets are off. Do whatever you want. And that's what we saw Matthew Knies just take the puck, get it on his stick after a nice pass and say, I'm not leaving the ice until this thing is over the red line. And that's what he did. It was fun to watch.
Brad, just already mentioned it, Saturday night, it is now known as the stick toss game. I got to read your story this week, a very entertaining one about why a game like that gets a name like that. For anybody that missed it, take us through what made this the stick toss game.
Yeah, you know, it's in the second period, and UND was getting outplayed by quite a bit. And Minnesota's Rhett Picklick scores to go up 2-0. And you're looking at everything. North Dakota's down 2-0. Shots on goal are 26-6 Minnesota, and North Dakota's top pair defenseman, Tyler Clevens, out of the game. And North Dakota's extra skater that night was a forward. So they are down to 5D without their top D, one of their top D in the game. So you're thinking this could get out of hand. Well, you know, after the goal, Rhett Picklick tossed his stick in the stands to celebrate. And I felt maybe it killed the momentum a little bit because, you know, the building's going, they have some excitement, and then boom, your guy gets a 10-minute misconduct. And it, all of a sudden it's kind of like, okay. A shift or two later, Minnesota takes another penalty. And then all of a sudden the Avalanche starts the other way. North Dakota hadn't had a shot on goal in a 10-minute span. And then they scored on 3 straight shots in the span of 72 seconds. And they all of a sudden have a lead. So it was just a really stunning change, just the way things did not look good at all for them after that goal. And then they ended up scoring 4 goals during the 10 minutes that Rhett Picklick was in the penalty box. And, you know, there were other issues for Minnesota during that. They took two minor penalties, and then they were called for a major penalty. Logan Cooley was called for face masking, got kicked out of the game. They scored again on that power play. So it wasn't just the stick toss. That was kind of the beginning of the turn, but Minnesota took other penalties along the way that compounded that error. And North Dakota's power play was excellent and took advantage of it. And, you know, I thought, you know, Jess had a quote from Bob Motzko that I thought was pretty accurate. He said, we basically opened the door and said, "Hey, North Dakota, do you want to come back in?" And they said, "Yep, thank you." And that was kind of what happened. They opened the door and North Dakota walked right through and rallied.
You left out maybe the part about who caught the stick.
Oh yeah.
And what ended up happening, because this became like the wrong team catching the ball, a home run ball in baseball.
It was like Wrigley Field. North Dakota fan caught the stick and it basically landed on him. He said it hit the aisle. He was sitting on the aisle and basically right there, right on his lap. And he was kind of funny. He said he's been to hundreds of sporting events. He's never caught a foul ball, never caught a puck. He said they never even caught a free t-shirt before. And here comes a stick there, and he grabbed it. And he said the first thing he did was look to his right. And there's another UND fan saying, "Send it back, send it back." So he said, "All right." And he launched it back on the ice. And so it was like a Wrigley scene right out of Wrigley with him launching the stick back. And of course, what transpired afterwards, now all the UND fans give him a little bit of credit for trying to turn the momentum, whether that had anything to do with it or not. But he had a fun time. He was in town. He lives in town, but he had about 20 friends who were in town because one of their college friends from UND got married Friday night. So they went to the wedding Friday. They all went to the game Saturday. And all of a sudden, little did they know they would end up in the paper the next day.
Well, I hope nobody gets the idea of a modification of t-shirt guns as stick guns as a promotion. That wouldn't be so great.
The easy joke, by the way, that after the game, I mentioned this on another podcast, but we saw the referees after the game, just, you know, at a bar afterwards, you know, cooling down like all of us were. And they're great guys. I struck up a conversation and I said, you know, you clearly missed a penalty, though, because North Dakota should have gotten a bench minor. One of their fans threw a stick on the ice.
More with Brad and Jess in a moment. USCHO Spotlight is sponsored by DCU Digital Federal Credit Union. Visit DCU.org.
Know how people say life happens? Well, for me, life was happening, and I needed a new truck. I didn't have time to shop around for a good loan, so I got one from the dealer, higher interest and all. Month after month, those payments were squeezing me. So I went to DCU. They refinanced my loan and helped lower my rate, which lowered my payments. These days, I have more money in my pocket for whatever life throws at me. What will DCU mean to you? Insured by NCUA. Membership required. Visit DCU.org.
We're back with Brad Schlossman and Jess Myers. So, Brad, coming off the weekend before the come-from-behind tie and then the blowout at the hands of Quinnipiac and losing on Friday, how big was this for North Dakota to get this dramatic win? What is that impact on their psyche right now?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was important because they, I think, what was their record? They were 2-2-1 heading into Saturday night, and they had a third period lead in two of the games, and they had a second period lead in the other one. And so, you know, it felt like they had left a lot on the table early in the season. And, you know, just to, I think the way it happened to be able to go down and come back is a big deal for them. Now they know when they get down in future games, how to play that out, you know, and I think to come away with the win in overtime also helps them. And especially, you know, in the pairwise, this is going to be a valuable win at the end of the year. Minnesota is going to be a top five team all year. So I think, you know, I do think that was a big win for them. And we'll see if they can build some momentum out of it going forward. Now it's on a big rink against a good team. And anytime you can have really big wins like that, when it comes down to the wire, I think that's big. And honestly, I think for both teams playing in an environment like that, if you can play in a game like that, you can play in a Frozen Four. So I think that, you know, playing in those types of games really helps teams because they're playing in as challenging and intense of an atmosphere as they will all year long.
And you mentioned pairwise, a little bit extra boost out of that for North Dakota being the road team for the weekend too.
Absolutely. I think that's why, you know, you had to look at this series coming into the season. You knew Minnesota is going to be a top team this year. You see it's a road game, non-conference. And, you know, this is one you wanted to get some points out of and to come away with some. I think at the end of the year, they're going to be pretty satisfied with being able to get these points here and move on.
Jess, we've seen a lot of high-profile teams play non-conference games early on in some East-West matchups. How important is that for the sport to see these high-profile teams get these games in early that are going to have big postseason implications?
Well, you know, it's a kind of a double-edged sword there. The games themselves are obviously fantastic, and the matchups are very important. But to a man, I've heard a coach say, why are we playing these games in October? You know, why aren't we playing in January or February where you have your feet under you a little bit more? Minnesota has got a big series with St. Cloud State that's going to be played right after the New Year's, right after guys get back from World Juniors. That seems like more of a realistic snapshot of what your team is going to be like. And, you know, you've got your feet under you. You know who you are a little bit more. So I guess that's the only drawback. A couple of weeks ago, Gophers had a great series with Minnesota State Mankato. That, you know, each team got a win at home. The Mavericks team was really impressive to me. And that was one of those where Mike Hastings and Bob Motzko said, it's just too bad we're playing this, you know, the second weekend of the year because you don't really know who your team is. You don't really have your identity as set quite yet. But, you know, obviously great to see those interconference matchups, to see those East-West matchups, to get more of an idea. You know, college hockey is still a pretty provincial sport, but it's kind of fun to see, you know, what Quinnipiac brings to the table. Or you know, for me to get to see that Lindenwood team, which is, I think, on the upswing and really quickly going to be a contender in college hockey for the NCAA tournament.
I'd like to talk a little bit about teams that maybe even this early in the season, when there've only been a couple of league games, none in the NCHC, teams that are already looking like they may have some troubles. I think of a game coming up, a series coming up this weekend with Cornell visiting Minnesota Duluth. Minnesota Duluth and Omaha both look like they're off to a rocky start, Brad.
Yeah, you know, I think with Omaha, you could sense that a little bit coming into the year. They had tons of losses. A lot of their leading scorers from last year are gone. Whether, you know, Taylor Ward had a huge year for them and he's signed. And then you've got Chase Primo went over to Notre Dame. And then the other guys like Kevin Conley, who are really good players for them. On the back end, Brandon Scanlon was their guy. Their goaltenders left. Roden went to Providence. Seville signed with Vegas. And so like a lot of the pillars of that team were gone. They didn't do a lot in the transfer portal to have immediate help. I think they have some good freshmen who are going to be good, but it's first month of college hockey and relying on freshmen to fill those spots is a tough deal. So actually when they jumped out, yeah, I picked them seventh in the league. When they jumped out and beat Minnesota State in that exhibition, like 7-2, I was like, holy cow, did I completely whiff on this? But no, you know, now we're seeing there are some issues with them. Minnesota Duluth, when I looked at their roster preseason, if they're fully healthy, I think they can be pretty good. But I also don't know if they have the depth they've had, especially with some of their skill guys. So if they're missing guys or guys aren't producing in their top six, I think they can get thin. And a few things have happened with them. Number one, they had the Olsen, James, and Biondi line, which was kind of their third line last year. And just out of nowhere, it was their best line all year long. They were phenomenal. And I felt that line is ready to be a top line in the NCHC. Well, they really haven't produced. And then behind them, they haven't got a ton of production either. So goal scoring has been an issue. Now they're going to have to play without Isaac Howard this entire weekend because he took a bad penalty, got suspended 2 games. Wyatt Kaiser got suspended for Saturday night after he took a bad penalty. So discipline's been an issue. If one of those teams is more likely to come out of this, I think it's Minnesota Duluth. But they've got to stay healthy with their top guys and they've got to stay in the lineup because they just don't have quite the scoring depth that they've had.
Just last week on the podcast, Jim and I kind of laughed afterwards when we were talking about St. Cloud's unbeaten record and going into the weekend. Well, they've only played St. Thomas and Wisconsin. And then we laughed because we said only Wisconsin. Wisconsin may have even bailed things out a little bit with that sweep of Duluth last weekend. How do things look for the Badgers? And are there any surprises right now in the Big Ten?
I guess the surprise for me would be Penn State starting off 6-0. And granted, you know, there's an endless supply of jokes that can be made about St. Cloud or about Penn State's non-conference schedule. You know, I heard one coach tell me that the Nittany Lions have to win Atlantic hockey before they'll leave their building every year. You know, so that's easy to say, but you know, this is a team that's always dangerous. I'm really looking forward to seeing Penn State and seeing what they have when they've had some changeover on their team, obviously, and a lot of different personnel from the team that won the Big Ten just a couple of years ago. You ask about Wisconsin, somebody's got to step up. I mean, that's just what it boils down to. There was a lot of hype about getting Cruz Lucius to bail out of his commitment to Minnesota and go to Wisconsin. And he's obviously a nice offensive complement for them with 3 goals already this far into his freshman year. They're getting good goaltending, not great goaltending, but they're getting good goaltending from Jared Moe, another guy who was a Gopher at one point and transferred looking for some more ice time. And he's getting that. But you look at an 0-4 start and, you know, the fact that over on the football side at Wisconsin, they pulled the hook on their coach pretty early in the season this year and made a coaching change. Obviously, they're not afraid to make moves if they perceive something being stagnant or something not working out the way they intended. So this is clearly a critical time for Tony Granato and his program.
Well, this weekend coming up, both of these teams that you cover, Minnesota and North Dakota, are involved in a couple of fun series. Let's start, Jess, with the Gophers. They head out to Columbus, Ohio for a meeting with the Ohio State University. Thoughts on that series?
You know, the kind of the fun sidebar to this story is Steve Miller, who was the assistant coach for the Buckeyes for the past 5 years. He came over to Minnesota in the summer, talked to him yesterday, and I'm going to have a story on the Rink Live about him kind of going home because his wife and his oldest son still live in Columbus. They're spending a year there while his son finishes high school. He's got a daughter that's playing college soccer at Bowling Green. So a lot of ties to Ohio. And, you know, some people look forward to this kind of homecoming thing. Steve Miller was quite honest with me and said, these weekends are tough. You know, he's been through this before. When he was at Providence, they played Denver in an NCAA playoff game, a memorable game where, you know, he had all those connections to Denver. He was on George Gwozdecki's staff for two national championships there. So he said, it's hard to do because you know both teams so well. You've got friends on both sides. He said, with all of that said, obviously I'm a Golden Gopher now, and they really like the contributions he's making to this program. For Ohio State, it begins and ends with Jacob Dobisch, their goalie. Obviously, he was the top goalie in the Big Ten last year as a freshman. He's a 6'4 guy. You know, he's a big body. And I kind of joke with a few of the Gophers, like, how do you prepare yourself to play a big goalie when you've got Justin Close, who's about 5'8", you've got, you know, Zach Weiss, who's about 5'8", and you've got Owen Bartoszkiewicz, who's maybe 6 feet tall. You know, they don't have a big goalie to practice against. So that will be a little different look. But the other big thing for the Gophers this weekend is just getting the energy back up. You know, they admitted it was so emotional. It was so hyped up last weekend, those two great games in front of big crowds against North Dakota. Bob Motzko said Monday, there was nothing left in the tank. You know, it was a quiet practice. Nobody could really get anything going. And you kind of have to rebuild that energy going on the road on a plane for the first time and playing in somebody else's building. And let's face it, Ohio State is not a raucous building generally. So you have to kind of find your own energy and get yourself going that way.
Well, North Dakota will have no problem finding energy. They just a single game this weekend, but it is the annual U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame game being played in Las Vegas, I believe. Brad, you can tell me if it's not sold out, close to sold out at T-Mobile Arena, and they will face Arizona State, a team that, you know, geographically closer, big alumni base, travels really well. This could be a fantastic and yet another fantastic atmosphere. And talk about playing three games with so much emotion consecutively. This will be fun for the Fighting Hawks.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. You sometimes maybe worry about a letdown emotionally after a big series like that, and that's just not going to happen here. They're going to Las Vegas. There's going to be 17,000 people at the game. I think these destination games that UND has started doing has become one of the best things going in college hockey. It's always just crazy to see how many people come from all over. I've started the map on the Herald site of where fans are coming from. And I believe I've heard from people coming from 43 different states, six Canadian provinces, Sweden, Germany, and Ukraine. So people are coming from all over for this game. And the atmosphere is incredible for these. So North Dakota's going to have no problem getting up. Arizona State's going to have no problem getting up for it. It's just a great show for college hockey. And I think it'll be an excellent game and should be entertaining with two teams that can score goals.
Well, it should be a great weekend of hockey. Let's hope that somebody told those casinos and bars out there that they need a little bit extra beer this year.
I told our friend Nate Ewell, who is now with the Vegas Golden Knights, old College Hockey Inc. guy, to make sure Vegas is ready for the invasion. And he said, I've been warning people. I've been warning them. They're coming. So
it's an interesting warning that is needed. But Jess Myers, Brad Schlossman, each year from the Brink Live, and you can read Brad's stuff at the Grand Forks Herald as well. Thanks for reliving what was a really fun college hockey series last weekend. Enjoy this weekend and safe travels and all that stuff the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Always fun to talk hockey. Have a great weekend.
Jim, we mentioned it in the discussion, but how cool is it to have all these high profile games so early in the season?
You know, and I get what Jess's point was, that you'd maybe rather play these in December or January when your team's a little bit more well-tuned. But I think that this is fantastic. I never really enjoyed seeing some just, you know, god-awful games early in the season where you were pitting, you know, basically the top three team against a bottom 10 team. And those games still exist. But I think that we've seen matchups that create real good, palpable atmospheres, and that these fans, I never thought that anything positive could come out of COVID. And I'm not trying to, you know, make light of COVID at all, but one positive is that people started to miss things that they took for granted in life. And I think fans really started to miss their college sports. And we have seen some buildings with fantastic crowds over the first month of this college hockey season. And I hope that continues, because the atmospheres in almost every building I've gone to this season have been awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned last week how attendance has been up so much. People are really getting out there and seeing the games. Well, that'll wrap it for this edition. Find our podcast at uscho.com/podcast or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We're available on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Stitcher, Spreaker, and Spotify. For Jim Connolly, I'm Ed Trefsker, and this has been uscho.com Spotlight.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.